This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Look at how nice my notes look. Looks like I'm going to college.
Well, if you were going to college and those were notes, I'd be like, wow, you didn't take very many notes.
I don't know. I didn't go to college. This is all imagination for me.
Sure.
Punch it!
It's time for
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam. Greetings.
Hello, Earthlings. Welcome back to another installment.
Butcher the Jam.
This isn't like an alien episode. I don't know why we're doing this. I'm so sorry. You started it. I know. Okay, listen. This is Butcher the Jam.
Sure.
You're listening to it right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, Demi, what do we do here?
Well, Mia, what we do is we take songs, we talk about the lyrics, talk about the music, talk about why they're crazy, and then we, fix them up. Give them a little punch up.
Is that right? And why a punch up?
Because...
It's not pump up?
No, it is not a pump up. It's not a pawn shop. It's a punch up, which means we just kind of, take the things we don't like and we go, we'll fix it so it's a perfect song now.
Right, yes. We're qualified to do that.
We absolutely are. We both have, 24 Grammys between us?
Yep.
A couple of Oscars. Handful of Tonys.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of Anthonys.
Yes. And I know, a couple of Oscars. De La Renta, The Grouch.
Yeah.
Pistorius.
And then my Grammy.
The Grouch.
My Grammy has a lot of friends who are kind of Grammys to me also.
Right.
So just in case that was confusing.
Get a network of Grammys.
I feel like we're actually joined by a real musician.
That is true.
We gotta introduce her.
Let's do it.
You know her.
How do I know her?
Because she's a musician. She has a podcast called John Legacy's Retirement Party. It's Mary Galassi.
I'm clapping for myself.
You should be. We should all be clapping for you. You at home,
no one should be clapping.
Stop dragging and clap.
You're honestly the dream guest because you do comedy and music.
Yes, and I'm not really successful in either.
So no one's successful.
You just told us you're touring with Amy Mann this fall. You're successful.
Thank you.
Relax.
Okay.
I've seen the guests you guys get on John Levinson's Retirement Party. You're successful.
Well, okay, yeah.
And I did your other podcast. What was it called again?
What's your problem?
That was super fun.
Yeah.
So, Mary, I sent you the list of songs to choose from. You chose Somebody's Watching Me. Any reason why?
Because I love the song and I think it's really great. But then I started doing research and it's such an interesting story. I'm more prepared for this podcast than I've ever been for any of my own.
Yes.
Or anything. Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I thought when I picked it, I was like, this is a fun, flirty song of someone watching you on the dance floor, maybe. That's not what it is.
No.
I mean, based on the title, that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
I feel like before we get into the song on today's episode, we need to do a little update on some things that have happened since our last podcast taping.
Yes.
Specifically regarding a previous episode we did on the Bare Naked Ladies 1 week. The lead singer, Ed Robertson, listened to it, tweeted at us, and emailed us personally from his personal email.
Oh my God.
Very trustworthy. Luckily, we are good people.
Sure.
I thought the lawyer had to do the cease and desist. It was him personally.
It was him.
It was his own lawyer.
In true Canadian fashion, he was like, I loved it, even though I'm pretty sure I called him a discount Dave Matthews in the first 5 minutes. And he's like, got all the answers if you want them. Uh-huh. And I'd love to invite you guys to any Bare Naked Ladies show.
You're kidding. What?
Funniest possible outcome.
Greatest possible outcome.
It worked out for you again.
He's so kind. He clarified two things that I would love to share because it's so interesting to me. The Chickadee China, the Chinese Chicken is a reference to a Busta Rhymes song, which makes sense, of course.
Makes sense.
It's like chickadee chocolate. I can't pull it up right now.
Okay.
And honestly, I didn't think I was going to mention this until right now. So the Busta Rhymes song where he does that and the Dans la Maison part where they go Dans la Maison, Dans la Maison, Dans la Maison. They were trying to sing the X-Files theme song.
Oh my god!
Wow.
So if that doesn't make any sense, you go back and listen to the episode.
Which is funny because you can't really hear it in the mix. So
he said also that the Chickadee China thing was kind of because bird flu was a big deal at the time, and he confirmed that he freestyled all of it. So he wasn't really thinking about what he was saying, and he's like, "I was an idiot kid Oh, well. Sorry. Wow. He's the nicest man in the world.
Sorry to you.
I know.
People who redid my song. I have to say, though, the jams are startlingly good. Like, very smart, funny. I feel like you guys will be, like, the next, what's it called? My Favorite Murder.
Oh, I thought you meant Bare Naked Ladies jams. I was like, yeah, I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, we're going to be the next Bare Naked Ladies, hopefully. We're Bare Naked Men.
2 weeks.
Not even plural.
Okay, guys, we have so many fun facts about this song.
Yes.
Not even the song per se, but about Rockwell himself.
I know, it's crazy.
It is a wild story.
Continue.
Okay, so the song came out in January 1984. I say January because this song is so pegged as a Halloween song.
Totally.
Not a Halloween song.
I absolutely, in my, like, there was no doubt in my mind. I was like, we'll do this for Halloween.
No, but it's not a Halloween song. The music video is super weird and spooky and makes no sense, but apparently.
Very disturbing. A lot of skinny white men. A pig wearing a pig mask.
But apparently the director like made those choices and Rockwell didn't like them and didn't think they made sense but didn't have time to change them.
David Lynch being like, what are some scary things?
Okay, so Rockwell's real name is Kennedy after JFK.
He's named after JFK?
Right, and I believe he has a middle name, can't remember if it's Smokey or Robinson, but it's named after Smokey Robinson.
Oh my God.
Right, because Kennedy Gordy is the son of Motown CEO Berry Gordy.
Yep.
And if that sounds familiar to you, well, obviously he's famous, but also that then makes him related to LMFAO.
Sure does.
Oh my God.
Red Foo is his half brother and Sky Blue is his nephew.
What a family dynasty. I understand, like, they're the Kennedys.
Yeah.
He has a lot of kids, right?
He sure does. But that fact is why I made this.
What did you do? Everybody just have a good time. Oh my God.
I always feel oh my God.
Yes. This works.
It does. Until.
Okay. Tell me, is it
just a dream?
Shake that. Oh no, it super works. It works until it super works.
I wish I had like a full acapella just to make it for real, but no.
Oh my God, it kind of works though.
Yeah.
It didn't have to change the keys at all.
No, that makes sense. They're related. They must have the same.
The family, like, they're just like, we use one key in this household.
If you were wondering, like, geez, that sounds a lot like Michael Jackson, it's because it is.
I did not realize it was Michael Jackson all of these years.
Me neither.
Until I was just like, every time I heard it, I was like, this guy sounds a lot like Michael Jackson. No wonder this was a hit.
Right?
Right. Just so during dumb. The hooks. I think they mix it that way to make their voices sound as similar as possible. Yeah. Sneaky
It
shit.
Was sneaky. It was a very badly kept industry secret. Obviously, we all know what Michael Jackson sounds like. And to add to the nepotism, they were close family friends. Like, Kennedy spent most of his time in his childhood growing up at the Jackson's house. And his sister is married to Jermaine Jackson, who also sang on this song. Apparently, the story is Kennedy really wanted to be like a rock star, and his dad was like, yeah, no thanks, kid. Classic father-son story. Mm. And he's like, come on, dad, let me be a musician. He's like, yeah, all right, bud. And so he's like, fine, I'll show him. And he writes a bunch of mediocre songs, quote, and gets his little keyboard and makes this little beat. And then he brings the beat on his boombox over to the Jackson's house, and he plays it for his buddy Michael, and he just sings over the boombox. And Michael's like, wow, man, that was great. Hey, Jermaine, you got to come in and hear this, dude. I don't think he said dude. What would
you got to hear this, man.
Man, right? Okay.
Jermaine.
He keeps doing this, adding one person every time. Yeah. So Rockwell sang this like 9 times in a row.
Great.
Oh my God.
And then Michael agreed to be on it.
I feel like after the third, I'd be like, this is a prank. Michael's like, no, it's not. LaToya, come here.
It's amazing. It's so funny to me. So Motown actually came up with the name Rockwell because and Gordy agreed to change it because he did believe that he rocked well.
Wow.
So if you're wondering the origin story there,
who knows.
Yeah. Starts and stops. And then maybe my favorite part of this story is that he says, quote, about this single, right? I asked God to give it to me. The prayer was, God, grant me the creativity to write a song that'll go to the top of the charts and tickle the taste buds of the music connoisseur.
Oh.
Wait, not done. Everything came to me so easily after that prayer. So you guys, this song, maybe God wrote it? I don't know.
This song would not be a hit without Michael Jackson. You basically were like, God, can you just make Michael Jackson sing over this?
Well, I guess that's like the power of friendship.
I guess.
Yeah. And then what's even crazier is that Rockwell took the track to Motown behind his dad's back and got signed. And then his dad was like, oh, you sly dog.
It's a crazy. It's like a movie.
Yeah.
What? Yes.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
This is like There Will Be Blood.
Exactly sure. like that.
It's exactly like There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember at the end of There Will Be Blood where he says, you sly dog, you finally got into Motown.
Yeah, he's like, a lot of good milkshakes in Detroit, baby. Yeah. And that's all I'll say so far. We can get into more as the song goes. Mary, you said you brought notes. You have anything you want to share now?
No, just that like he was 18 when he wrote this song.
Really?
Wow.
Which makes so much sense.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I have to add.
It does make sense. Now that I'm thinking about the way he performs the song vocally, I'm just like, oh, you're not an adult yet.
No. Do me a favor. If you're not driving, pause the pod. Try to find live footage of him singing this song.
Oh, really?
I spent about an hour trying to find it this morning. Couldn't find a single live performance.
Wow.
I did find him being interviewed on a Dick Clark program in which he pretended to have a British accent for about half of it, and it made Dick Clark visibly angry.
That's great.
And he was incredibly awkward, and I was like, oh, he's not cut out for this.
If Rockwell started making music like 30 years later, he would, like, the internet would love him. He's just doing fake voices, and, like, you can't,
It's so funny.
That's so great.
Also, like, the bridge, like, you know, it's just, like, all the instruments are just, like, two synths, one's higher than the other. Yeah. And, like, there's no bridge, but there's, like, a ridiculous line about the IRS, which does make up for the bridge.
My favorite line in the entire song.
Yeah. Oh, my God, can we start? I want to get into it.
For the bridge. The only bridge is the synth is doing a line, da-da-da-da, and then it just does it twice as fast, like how a child would think, da-da-da-da-da-da. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's good. What?
No!
It's great.
Hey, you guys, God wrote it. Jealous. Let's not criticize it.
Oh, you're right. Jesus Christ wrote it.
No. God gave the talent to Rockwell to write it.
Oh, right. The creativity, rather.
I do just imagine him being like, God, please, can you send me a sign? And Michael Jackson's like, hey, I'm just popping by to see if you need anything. Please, let me finish my prayer. God, can you just give me anything? Well, I'm just going to go if you don't need anything. I'm just going to start singing some words in the hall, if you don't mind. I always feel. And he's just like interrupting his way.
So good.
Should we start this?
I'm so ready. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Watch it. It's so
funny. Oh, classic. I like this part.
Those, like, organs are the only thing that make this a Halloween song.
Totally.
No, there's, like a vocal patch.
Is that?
I think it's a voice keyboard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I just assumed it was, like, a weird organ.
I think it's a very bad vocal patch on a synth.
That's
I think you're right.
Now that I'm listening to it more critically, I can hear he made this by himself at 18, and I also a little bit understand the dad's perspective.
yeah
Which I'm, by the way, so sorry, Rockwell, if you're listening now after the Bare Naked Ladies thing. I'm like, hey, sorry, feel weird talking about you when you're not here.
I don't feel bad at all. Fuck you, Rockwell. No, I'm kidding.
Nice.
I'm kidding, Rockwell. No, don't start over.
Rockwell's haunting you.
Who's haunting? Yeah, I do. I will say, like, as like sort of basic as it is, I like it a lot.
Me too.
It's weird. Yeah. It's very catchy, and I started playing it on my own keyboard, and I was like, it's super easy, but also just like very fun. How do 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 do.
It's
like
cool.
Bouncy.
Yeah. My Uber driver and I were talking about it on the way over, and she was like, "We were just talking about this because I think someone's stalking my friend," and I was like, "It's just like the song," and she like knew lyrics from it, and she's like, "Let's just listen to it." And then, like, yeah. And then, like, you know, it was a long ride because of the Dodgers game. And at the end of the ride, she's like, it's still stuck in my head. I was like, yes, right?
You're welcome. Please give me 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's one. I love that you pointed out it's just the same little 3-note progression twice as fast.
Yeah. It's not fair.
No, it really is like the little, like, musician's trick to try to pretend like you're better than you are.
Right.
Just to go, oh, now I'm playing it faster. Yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure it's like what, like, organists do in haunted houses.
Totally.
And at baseball games, they're just like, oh, we're getting ready. Exactly.
I'm trying to examine this without knowing the Halloween connotation. Mm-hmm. Would this feel spooky if I just heard it right now for the first time?
Let's play it again.
Okay, that feels like the army. Also, that bass, wow, just dies. Kind of sounds like he's saying swatching.
Yeah.
Just watching.
Whoa!
does feel very, yeah.
The voices feel like ghosts.
Yeah. And also just like the register that the synth is in is so low that it is kind of this weird like dark, like almost it, gothic sound.
It also sounds kind of modern because this is what music's trying to sound like now.
Very true.
Like these synth sounds are all over modern music.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like it.
I do too.
Me too.
Rockwell, you done it again.
Again,
big
one
ups
time.
To God.
Well, so far.
Rockwell, you did it the once.
I know. I a little bit wonder, like, was it to God? Did God decide to answer your prayer just one time?
Should we make a prayer to God that this is the best podcast of all time?
Yes.
Okay, God, give us the strength to be so rich. Just for once.
Hey, guys, I was just downstairs. Do you...
Michael!
No?
I'm praying?
I'm so sorry.
Did you not see the sign on the door?
Yeah, all right.
I had a sock on the handle.
You did. I thought you were jerking off. I'm sorry.
No, that's my prayer sock, bud.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
Go make a sandwich.
All right. I always...
What was that?
Sorry, what?
What were you saying?
Do you want me to leave? I was singing.
Let me finish praying.
Okay.
But remember that.
All right.
Okay.
I always feel.
Oh, are you okay?
Me?
Yep.
I'm fine.
Where'd you just go?
I was looking under the couch for some quarters.
Skittles.
Quarter Skittles.
Okay. So, music's great. We've established that.
A plus.
Very weird and kitschy.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yes. And then the lyrics come in.
I'm just an average man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price.
What's so funny? Oh, I pay the price for being alive.
Hey, hell, I pay the price.
You guys hearing this accent?
I'm just an average man.
Yeah.
It's the funniest affection I've ever fucking heard.
It's so good.
It's like if a vaguely British person was like leading a intellectual conversation in front of like their troop.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe this inflection.
It feels like when Donald Glover did sketch comedy.
Yeah!
Like that's the voice. Hey, hell, I pay the price. Now, everybody, will you please? It's just this weird like fake like haughty British.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from Detroit. Yeah. There's nothing British about this.
Yeah.
Also, the audacity to start a song with, I'm just an average man.
Yeah. Well, you sound like you're twirling a mustache.
Yes.
On Halloween. The song you wrote for Halloween.
I can smell the mustache wax. It's like a lot. I feel like he's probably like owns a couple top hats.
Yes.
He might have a cane.
Yeah. And I definitely has a cane.
Don't want to make fun of him because I don't know if he needs it or not.
Well, I'm saying the man that he's imitating is like the Monopoly man. The cane is just for show. He dances every time he lands
British.
On Baltic Avenue. I'm just an average man. I've got a hotel over here.
Also, anyone that leads might be like, I'm just an average man. I live an average life. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You made a song.
Right. Yeah.
No, yeah, also, you were hiding something.
He's like, that's like what you say to the IRS when they're like, yeah, you got some offshore accounts. I'm just an average man.
This entire song is him being like, look, IRS, I'm just a normal guy. I don't know why you're picking on me.
I work from 9 to 5, which already we know is a lie. We know who your dad is.
Yeah.
And also that you're a teenager.
Hey, hell, I pay the price.
What's the price? What's the price of a 9 to 5? That's my question.
9 to 5.
Don't have time for my dang kids. Don't have any yet, but I won't.
I couldn't make time for them if I had them.
Wow, you're really nailing that accent.
Yeah, yeah.
All they want is to be left alone. I had to do this accent so much for the punch-up that I'm just like, it's a second nature for me now.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, Rockwell, you're on one, man. What is
Oh, thank
he?
You so much.
That's exactly how he sounds.
Oh my God.
It's such a funny voice, and I feel like as often as I've heard this song, I've never paid attention to the voice because the chorus is so catchy that that's all you can remember.
Yes.
And it's like, it's the greatest magic trick.
It's also totally. So funny to think that this was a single written with the intention of blowing up.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a song from Rocky Horror. Like, it does not sound like a standalone single. It sounds like it's from a musical.
Yeah. Written for one day of the year, which is Halloween.
Yeah.
One day.
Again,
Halloween in January.
Released in January. It's like, hey guys, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so... I'm just an average man.
He was like, look, this song is going to be so big, it's going to carry me for the next 9 months of the year. Fuck it, let's go.
And it did. I'm so mad.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Thanks, God. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone? That Twilight
Amazing.
Zone is the first time I'm like, oh, he can sing.
Twilight Zonin.
Zonin.
The rest was like monotone talking.
Yeah.
Kind. Yeah. And all I want is to be left alone.
You, well, You can tell from the strain that that wasn't the first take.
That, yes.
Maybe the 70th take.
I would love to hear
like,
just...
Come on, man. You can do it. Come on.
He got it.
He did.
He did. He did. Nailed it.
I don't know. Did Auto-Tune exist in 1984?
Some I don't I feel like some so. Version of it, but not like
because it was on tape.
Yeah,
so I don't
true.
Think so. Mary,
yeah, you recorded a musician, probably not. And I don't think that was auto-tuned, but I think that took a lot.
It took a lot. They wasted a lot of tape.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
What did you just say?
All I want is to be left alone in my average home.
We got it. You're average.
This is feeling a little David Byrne.
Yeah,
a little. I'm like Talking Heads. Totally. Right?
This is not my average house.
The mashup we deserve.
Ugh, I really fucked up by making an LMFAO.
Okay, all I want is to be left alone in my average home.
But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't know why you feel that way, because you've given me no information.
I don't... For the second verse to start with, all I want is to be left alone. When you've given nothing to suggest that you were being bothered, I'm just like, what? What's going on?
Yeah. He's just like, get on my level.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm coming strong out the gate. Things you need to know about me? Average. 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 Hate other people. Super not into company.
Just like every other average person.
Also, right. Extremely paranoid and will not justify it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have to believe that it's justified. Otherwise, you're going to think I'm crazy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I like it. And mostly, I respect it.
Most importantly, yes. He deserves our respect.
It's such a strong
definitely.
Choice.
Is Twilight Zone the reference he's really meaning? Because I feel like just being watched, that's not a...
I think... I'm going to guess. I couldn't find a fact about him being a fan of the Twilight Zone.
Sure.
So I can't say with authority here. Guessing he just associates Twilight Zone with spooky.
Sure.
And he's like...
Makes sense to me.
Things feel spooky to me.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Maybe not like... the last man on the earth, and all I wanted to do was be left alone and read, and my glasses broke. Like, I'm not getting that.
Right. What year did this come out again?
84. Which was, by the way, an incredible year for music.
Was this before or after Thriller?
2 years later.
Thriller was 2 years later?
No, Thriller was 2 years earlier.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, this feels like he was just copying Thriller. In a lot of, even in, like, the way he's delivering, I'm like, that's sort of like Vincent Pricey.
100%!
Totally.
The only reason I Googled when Thriller came out was for the exact same thought.
Yeah.
I was like, hang on, did Michael rip off his buddy Rocco, or did Rocco rip off Maiko?
He ripped off Mikey.
And Mikey still sung on it.
Yeah.
I think Michael, though, maybe, guys, none of us were, like, conscious people in 1984.
No.
Oh, I was, like, friends with Michael Jackson? What were you gonna say?
Well, I mean, sorry, don't speak continue. For me. You don't know... You know,
I love Miel. Don't talk about me that way.
Right. My best friend, Ghost, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Who still has the voice of he did when he was 20. Thank you. Michael, I'm trying to record a podcast.
All right.
Thank you. That he would be like, oh, yeah, sure, man. No problem.
Yeah.
I got you. It's cool. Yeah. I think possibly also Michael like started a massive trend that then everyone was like, I do spooky songs now.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't alive.
There's so many reasons I'm mad that this song was a major hit. But I also like it. But I'm also mad.
First and foremost, because you didn't write it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ wrote it.
That's true. And didn't get any credit.
Yeah.
That's why I'm mad.
You try to give Jesus credit, he's not taking it.
That's true. And it's annoying. Yeah. Take the fucking money. Take the royalties.
No, he's like, drink my blood, bro.
Give me your address. We want to pay you.
It's 111 Heaven Way.
I know that's fake. Heaven Circle. I always feel like somebody's watching me,
and I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like that's synth. So just beeps.
Yeah. Oh my god, so good.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
I love the beeps.
The beeps. I'm trying to understand the rhyme or reason behind the beep.
He was like, I need something to break it up so this is clearly the chorus. And just
I think so,
adding more like more vocal synth was not enough.
Sorry, Michael Jackson's guest spot wasn't enough for the chorus.
Guess not.
Who was, by the way, already at the time huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
This wasn't like the Doobie Brothers scandal. Yeah. He was huge.
Singing backups on your song that is a ripoff of his song.
Yes. By his own
friend. Such a good friend. Yeah.
The most generous. Also, he was not like directly credited on this song. It's not Rockwell featuring Michael Jackson.
No.
This is, it's insane that this happened.
I know. He's probably like, I'm good.
Michael Jackson's not in the video at all, nor even alluded to in the video.
Of course not.
I'm like, why couldn't he have just been playing on like a TV in the background of like a frame?
He was probably like, I bet he was like, I'll sing
You know what I think he did is he went, oh, what if you do something like this, and then sang the chorus, and they were recording. We're just like, we're just gonna use that.
Okay, do you think he wrote the "and I have no privacy," or did Rockwell add that?
I bet Rockwell added that.
Yeah, because totally.
That's the only part that's actually him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that part is hilarious. It's so my funny. Favorite part. It's like, well, no, we got it with the "somebody's watching me." Like, that's worse than yeah. "and I have no privacy." It's like we know.
If you're gonna be redundant, like at least yeah. be eloquent yeah. about it. Do you know what I mean? Can we listen to the chorus again just to listen to the fucking beeps?
Of course.
I'm just. I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no privacy. There.
I have a theory now.
Hey! Wow!
I love how they're also just like random. Like sometimes they'll go up and then they'll just come right back down. There's yeah. no what? Sequence to it.
What's I have a theory. Your theory?
Okay, so on those little synths, yeah. you have to manually do the octaves up and down. And sometimes when you change settings, it changes octaves. I think that was a mistake. And it was like too high. And he's like, hey, that sounds good. Because his standards are pretty low.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's just do that. And everyone's like, we don't care. Whatever. Michael Jackson probably never listened to this song after it was released.
Absolutely not.
So I think that was a mistake.
I actually could totally see that being true.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel deliberate, especially because it's not really present in the first half of the chorus.
Yeah.
And then it like, comes in like three times as hard on the second
what
half.
A beautiful mistake, yeah. though. It works.
Yeah. Oh. Definitely.
Demi's
yeah.
just a dream. Is he trying to sound like Michael Jackson when he sings that?
I absolutely think he is.
Yes.
He wants people to think, oh, this is just all one person.
Which we did.
Well, yes, yeah. it worked.
I'll be honest, I was always so confused because I'd hear the song and be like, oh, I love this Michael Jackson song. I'm like, these verses, this doesn't sound like Michael
yeah,
Jackson.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was Michael Jackson also?
Rockwell's just like an alter ego.
I'm just an average man.
Can you imagine?
If Michael Jackson had a song where he started saying, I'm just an average man, I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
Can I know? I work from 9 to 5. Like, he wouldn't even sing like that.
No.
He would never sing a melody so basic.
No.
Ever.
He'd first of all sing it.
Yeah.
And not
yeah.
just say it.
And then you'd hear his zipper audibly going up and down.
What?
You never saw that video?
No.
Music-wise, the chorus, bops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This entire yeah. song, like the instrumental, it bops. Yeah. It's good. When I
come home at night. Oh my god. Oh my god.
People call me on the phone trying to avoid.
But can the people on TV see me or am I just
paranoid? His
beautiful.
Accent just changed.
It's great. I have nothing. As much as we can joke about his accent, it's incredible. This is a 10-10 song because yes. of the accent.
Yeah.
Because of the accent.
I wish it just changed to like different dialects.
Oh, can totally.
Can we listen to it again? I'm so upset. When I come home at night. No, no. I make the door real tight. People call me on the phone. I'm trying to avoid. But can the people on TV see me? What am I? Okay, so suddenly he's got like a mouthful of marbles. I don't understand.
He sounds like the butler from The Fresh Prince, but only for that last part.
Totally.
Come on, yes. just paranoid.
Amazing.
He's like, he went from being like a hoity-toity British man to like a southern, like fancy war general.
Yes.
When I come home at night. Like, it's completely theatrical. There's no music
it's
in this.
Great.
It's amazing. The call and response of the synth. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da.
What? What a weird choice for a second verse. Be like, gonna totally stop with my melody, my line, my rhyme scheme.
Amazing.
It's just a different song now.
Just a different song.
He's like, this is the feature from the other character I do.
Yeah.
Rock bad.
Rock poor.
Okay, I deeply love him saying he's trying to avoid people's phone calls.
Yes.
That's great, yeah.
Very relatable.
Not so, even proper grammar, but...
He would crush it on 2018 it. Twitter, let me tell you.
Real.
Sorry I didn't respond to your text. It's just that I didn't want to.
Fave.
Oh my god.
What the fuck is that?
Guys, I really think Rockwell is haunting the studio.
I thought that was a sound effect to do a vape, but you just did.
I did not do that at all.
That was fucked up. It was in the silence, too.
Literally, the scariest sound just came out of the wall.
He just started screaming fave, and a ghost came out of the wall.
Oh my god, what if it
That's
is God?
Crazy.
He's Wait, like, don't make fun of my creation.
Should we chant it again? And
don't make fun of my greatest.
I'm not fucking with this, dude. I'm not fucking with this.
That's fave. Scary.
Fave. No, no.
Okay,
stop.
Okay.
You're creating like a Bloody Mary situation with this Rockwell song. You're the Twitter fave.
Did somebody call my name?
Or am I just paranoid? I can't do this voice. I'm so sorry.
Yes, you can.
I like how you speak of him as if he's dead. He's not dead, right?
No.
Okay, didn't think so.
I bet his career is ripped. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
He's okay.
So
be nice.
Again, if Rockwell's listening, please come on the show. We're big fans.
Hey, that's my friend. Don't talk about him that way.
Michael, dead for sure. Could be the ghost of Michael.
That is my ghost.
Wow, what a treat to be haunted by Michael Jackson.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Assuming the allegations aren't true. If they are...
They are not true.
I don't know.
Wait, which ones?
I don't know. There's a lot.
Okay, well, then they're all not true.
Great. Thanks, Michael. Go back and make a sandwich.
When I come home at night, I bolt the door real tight.
As most people do. I don't think that's a sign of paranoid people.
But right. There are like three heavy lock sounds, which I love that he just like throws in sound effects for that alone.
They're so aggressive, they kind of sound like glass breaking.
Yes.
Like it's a lot.
People always call me that I'm trying to avoid. Can the people on TV see me or am I just paranoid?
So just two totally unrelated thoughts.
Yes.
Yikes.
Okay, so yeah. I relate to the thing about the phone.
Sure.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Love the memes. The next part, though, that sounds like a 4-year-old child is just asking questions.
Right. How do they get them all inside the box?
Can you imagine, like, a homeschool kid seeing a TV for the first time and being like, hi! Because that's, I'm pretty sure, where Rockwell's at.
Yes.
What if,
at the age of 18.
What if that was a real question?
Then I'd be worried about the entire concept of the song, because I just thought it was like, oh, okay, so... You are being stalked by someone, and he's going like, no, I think there are people in this little box that are watching me. And be like, oh, buddy.
You know, it was
troubling
pre-social media.
Sure.
Pre-Google. Yeah. So he might have actually just been wondering that.
No. He is the son of Barry Gordy. He's
who it
rich.
Sounds like was a real dick to him.
Sure.
And also has a lot of kids.
Still rich.
Doesn't mean like he's educated. I feel like we have a lot of good examples of that right now.
But like in terms of education about how television works, I'm like, you grew up having this sort of technology probably.
I don't know, man. You see an episode of Black Mirror.
What?
Could be on some.
I don't think so. That's in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Now you're getting it.
I'm not.
You know, my Uber driver brought up a really interesting point on the way here. She said maybe because of who his dad was, he thought that all be like the paparazzi or that people were always like wanting something from him. I was like, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, maybe Uber driver. What was her name?
Tika.
Doc's your Uber
Tika.
Driver.
Tika. Girl. Friend, come on, podcast.
You big ups
good
to
Tika. Ideas.
Yeah. Pretty sure that was her name.
That definitely could be it. That's Although, the most plausible excuse.
It's the most plausible, but then this whole can the people on TV see me thing, I'm just like, wait,
again,
what?
No, yeah, he just threw in a sincere question.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I'm doing a bit, doing a funny voice, and I'm going to say the funniest voice for the truest thing.
I wish that this line was just something like, when the sun goes down at night, does it also shut off? Or something where it's just like, what?
How come I can see the moon?
Why do we park on the driveway and drive on the park?
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair.
I have to stop it there.
Oh my god! Who does that sound like?
Yeah, I think
like?
You have to.
It's Nigel Thornberry.
Yes.
It's fucking Nigel Thornberry.
Waving his finger. Yeah, totally.
Puppet.
Why didn't he?
It's like somebody's choking Tim Curry.
That's why it reminded me of Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
Who also voices Nigel Thornberry. So it's
yes!
just Tim Curry.
It's Tim Curry.
Oh my god.
We need Tim Curry to cover this fucking song.
Absolutely.
Okay. What did he just say?
When I'm in the shower,
I'm afraid to wash my hair.
Best lyric ever.
Wow. I mean, again, relatable. 2018.
Super relatable.
Yeah, you shouldn't wash it every day.
How often do you go between washes?
Only 2 to 3 days.
See, but only because you can't stretch it, right?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. If you could, you'd go like once a week.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ugh, what a dream.
Do you consider getting your hair wet, washing it still?
See, this is a short haired privilege question that you're asking.
No, I'm this is actually a disgusting, poorly showered person.
Right. But you don't get that choice when your hair is long. Because
sure.
If you get your hair wet and it's long and you don't wash it, oh boy. Not only do you smell like a wet dog,
sure.
But your head is grease slicked down.
Yeah, it's right. Over.
It's like
it's over.
You can see your scalp through every hair. You have to pour in like a
gross.
Gallon of baking powder. Yeah, baking powder, guys.
Yeah.
Baby powder is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, that's even weirder.
What? Boy.
Both of those, I'm like, what? Why would you put those in your hair?
It's called dry shampoo.
So that's not baby powder.
No, baby powder can work. Although talc apparently is bad for you.
I'm learning so much about hair right now.
Oh my god. Basically, you take some starchy thing. You can use oat flour just straight out of the bag. You can use rice starch, tapioca starch, potato starch. Mm-hmm. Dry shampoo is a dream. Yeah. And it saves you like at least an extra day or two between washing your hair.
I know about dry shampoo.
Yeah, so that's what it's basically made out of.
I'm learning.
Unless it's an, if it's an aerosol, obviously it's like different things. But sure. If it's a powder, that's usually what it is. And I'm just saying, it's amazing to not have to wash your hair. So Rockwell got it right before his time.
Yeah.
Complaining about relatable memes.
Although he's saying he's afraid to do it.
So am I. Because I'm afraid of the commitment after the shower of having to like do my hair for 30 fucking minutes.
He's afraid for different reasons.
Oh, because he's balding.
Yep. That's balding. It.
He's an old 19-year-old at this point when he recorded this song. When I'm in the shower,
I'm afraid to wash my hair. Sorry, we didn't even talk about the way he says shower.
Again, shower.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair.
It sounds like the way he says shower, like it's a noise you make doing a karate move.
Shower.
Totally.
Right?
Yes. Shut up.
Like, it's so aggressive.
It also, this is an unrelatable thing to say, but it feels like the kind of ad-lib that I hear a lot in Nigerian music where they just go, Habas! And then you're just like at the end of a line.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can hear that.
Who else can relate? Okay, hear it again. When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair.
Oh my God. Because I'm open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy. Amazing.
What were you gonna say?
I just love how wrong his accent is for the lyrics. It's like opposite. That's why it works. It's like I'm properly saying all this shit that doesn't make any sense at all. So
if he sang it sincerely, I think the average listener would be far more critical.
Totally.
Because you can't really understand him.
Also, because I feel like because we all think it's a Halloween sing, we're just like, oh, it's a character he's doing.
No.
But it's like, it's not a Halloween song.
It is a sincere musician in his father's shadow trying to make a name for himself. That's what this song is. Mm-hmm.
And what a name he's made. The British singer Rockwell.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair. Okay, why?
Because I might open my eyes and find somebody standing there.
Okay, okay. Some people say I'm crazy.
Just a little touch.
Okay, is that him, like, defending himself, or is he backtracking? Is he like, I'm just a little touched, or is he like, they... No, never mind. They just say I'm a little touched.
I'm guessing he's like, because of the subsequent line, I feel like he's trying to say, like, people think I'm crazy for thinking this, but, like, have you seen Psycho? Like, I didn't invent this concept.
Right.
Maybe I've just seen the movie too many times.
Yeah, yeah. He's, okay.
Which
he's mitigating. I get it.
Deeply relate to. I still to this day have never seen Psycho. But at about 5-6 years old, I found out that it existed and heard a basic premise. Literally all I knew about it was that this guy murders women in the shower and the wee, wee, wee.
Yep.
And it scared me so much that I made my babysitter watch me shower for about 3 years.
The same thing happened to me not with Psycho though, with It. Ironically, Tim Curry, some kids told me about It when I was a kid, and they're like, and he crawls out of the bathroom sewer, and I was just like, fuck, I haven't even seen this damn clown, and now I'm terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, yeah.
Bathroom sewer?
Well, it's like the drain, sorry.
In the shower?
Yeah.
Oh, so did you make your babysitter watch you shower?
I didn't have a babysitter. I was just like, well, I guess I'm showering with the door open, all the lights on. Like, it was...
Did your sister see your little dick, though?
No. I had a big dick, first of all. It's shrunken over time.
Wait, really?
Oh, that's what happens to all men.
Huh.
No.
No, he's right. It happened to my dad.
Oh, no. No. I just remember as a kid being like, well, this is a fear I'll have forever now.
Oh, that's so funny. Also, I want to clarify, I was kidding about my dad. My dad has a totally fine penis.
Stop! Stop! Don't talk about the penises of any of the people who have been guests on this show.
All right, fine. We just talked about yours, and technically you're a guest every time.
Yeah, I talked about mine.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to speak for my dad's penis.
Thank you.
Everything I've said about my dad's penis is a lie.
For the record, I am now going to put in the show notes. Today on Punch Up the Jam, we talk about Miel's dad's penis.
I was trying to make a joke.
A lot.
About like this like general dad character.
Sure.
Forgetting that now you guys know who my dad is.
His dad character.
Like, you know.
Jeff Goldblum.
Right, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Guys, I just want to, for once and for all, set the record straight about my dad's penis. It's totally fine as far as I know, okay?
As far as we know. if he wants to come and set the record unstraight,
like his crooked dick. Okay.
Don't.
Oh, you said, I did it again.
You maybe spent a full minute on your dad's dick, man. Look,
you're the one making it weird. You're the one making it weird.
Yeah, agreed.
Am I?
I think that's all we should talk about.
Okay, fine.
Mary's on board.
All right,
let's
play the next clip about Miel's dad's penis. Which is what this podcast is now about.
Honestly, based on where this song has gone so far, I would be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense for this song. Because so far you've told me you lock your door, you don't like talking on the phone, you're just genuinely curious if the people on TV can see your bag.
Yes.
And now you're like, and I saw Psycho too much, I'm scared to shower now.
Not even that he saw, it's like, it reminds me of Psycho too much.
Right, and also, like, yeah. I think we're just breezing past the point that you can shower with your eyes open.
Yes.
Totally.
Like, it'd be pretty easy.
He's just like, I can't do my hair, I cannot wash it if my eyes are open.
Yeah. I'm so weird, I can't. Yeah.
He's so quirky and relatable. I feel like he's the original, like, Twitter icon.
He really... I'm telling you,
30
years later, yeah. Rockwell is a king of Twitter.
Yeah. We're gonna get to the bridge. He'd be like, I eat pizza too much. Who's playing
tricks on me? And then it's this long instrumental.
Mary's favorite part.
It is my favorite part. What a great note to end on. Da-da.
Wait, and that was it?
Yes, and then it's back to this part, which is also an instrumental.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I never noticed that
part. It's like a weird bat screech.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay.
There's
so much in there.
So much. Yeah.
First and foremost, that solo. What do we think about that solo?
I think it's funny to me because of how non-complex it is. It feels like he's just figuring out the keys.
I can visualize it, and I'm pretty sure he's playing it with two fingers.
Yes.
And I should say two fingers on two different hands.
For sure, yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's a solo that, like, if you don't play an instrument, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, because he goes, like, there's a couple pickups. He's like, and you're like, wow.
It feels like he marked which of the keys are in the correct key.
He put, like, pink tape on it.
Yes, and then was like, let me just see which one of these works.
So I can hit any of these? Oh, okay, yeah. Anyone.
All of them. He's going up and down.
Why is that so funny? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Keep pausing here.
Yeah.
I want to listen to the second half of the independent of that solo, because there's so much in that, too.
Oh, God.
I'm wondering if this was a thing they had then. I had an old Korg synth from a little bit after this time, and it had like, I don't know what the term is for it. Basically a whammy bar.
Yeah.
Like, it's
like a mod wheel?
Modulator.
Yeah, is that what it's called? I've never known the name.
Yeah.
Is he using one to give that, like, a tremolo on it?
I think so.
It's so funny that he's like, this is the note.
In which case, he is probably playing less notes. He's just, like, playing one and then, like, messing with the wheel a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, that's three notes.
Yeah. Also, we're assuming that he played it, and honestly, like, I don't know that he did. They could have had, like, a solo guy
I feel
come
like
in.
He did.
A session player just did this one thing.
If it was a session player who just came in and was like, how about something like, I don't know, very basic, and Rockwell was like, yes, that's perfect, and it's like, okay, I'm gone.
I just wish I could have seen Michael Jackson's face when he first played this on the boombox, and is just standing in all earnesty next to the boombox, playing the song as the solo plays, and he doesn't sing. Like, what was that scene
just like? Inviting his siblings one by one to come down and hear that solo again.
Mm-hmm. And nine times he has to stand next to his boombox and be like, I always fit.
No. Yeah.
Okay, then the second half of that solo.
Wait, first of all, listen to the way that it starts. It's almost like a mistake. It's like he plays it again. It's like, oh, wait.
Yes. There's also like this slowly descending tone. And now start back up.
It does feel like a digital bat.
Oh, pew!
And the laser.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't notice that before.
Love the laser. Wow. I love how this is pretty much just Thriller.
Yeah.
Like, the effects are straight up just...
He probably asked Michael, do you think you could give me Vince's contact info?
He's like, no, okay, yeah, all right, whatever you need. Darkness.
Yes. Thank you.
Every time! I feel my ears going to explode. Is that him or like a lady vocal background?
I think it's him or Joe Jackson. Jermaine Jackson. Jermaine.
Oh, that's probably Jermaine.
Yeah.
You can really hear the vocal like synth pad now that it's like, oh, oh. It's like notes transition between the notes. Oh, oh. I'm just so confused the intention of the laser or whatever the fuck that is.
Sure.
The thing that sounds like a laser that's attempting to pierce my eardrums. Maybe it's like a laser emulating the sound of glass breaking. I don't know what it's supposed to be.
It feels like it's just like a cue to everyone just like, and I'm coming back singing now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Jermaine coming back, we assume, right?
But it's like over Jermaine.
Whoa. Boo! We're about to go like into space at the end of that.
That's what that's where we're going. That's where you can be alone for the rest of your life.
Man, if he was like writing this song now, I'd be like, you should do that Mars thing. That sounds great for you.
What, go to Mars alone?
Yeah, those people that are training to do that.
He's just going to be like, Dad, can you pay for me to go to Mars alone? And Zed'll be like, yes, absolutely. Get the fuck away from me.
I don't know how to feel about that bridge.
I feel like it's twice as long as it needs to be. And even in the span of like it being half as long, I'm just kind of like, get more creative with this.
Nothing's happening. Yeah.
Nothing is happening. Yeah.
And he did use the cork that he used to have. Yeah. All of the tones, even the laser one I recognize from that little cork.
Yeah.
They're like all mistakes. Like,
this is absolutely.
All hit them by mistake.
It feels like he went to like a store that had it and just brought his own recorder and was just like, I'm going to play it on the thing before they kick me out.
I'm going to make this quick. Yeah.
He just plugged it into his little like 4-track recorder.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. There is some. I'm also curious. Why not even just like play a different like chord progression, or even just like change up the chord progression, like switch around like 1-5-4 or something. Like I don't care what you want to do here.
What do you mean by chord progression?
It's like the same notes, the same tones. Yeah. Like he doesn't introduce anything other than this laser.
Yeah.
If Michael was a true friend, he would have helped him write a bridge.
Right.
But he's not.
Or even just ad lib. Can you imagine like a shamoo like every 10 seconds on
there
this?
There is anything. A hee hee at the end.
Oh.
It's very faint.
Oh, what a treat!
Yeah.
He, like, held his voicemail up to, like, the four track. And that's why it's so faint.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bridge brings us back to...
Absolutely, without a doubt, the best line of this entire song.
Yes.
It comes out of nowhere. This is why when we first made the list of songs, I was like, this has to be on it.
I have never noticed that.
It's so fucking great.
It's also insane. Because everything he said so far, I'm like, you're out of your mind. And then he's like, IRS, I'm like, actually, probably they are.
Yeah. Yes, probably this entire song is just him being, like, you think he's paranoid, and then it's like, oh, no, you're specifically writing this for that one person.
Yeah, but it's he like says it in such a wacky way.
Yeah, it feels like when you write something for a crush and you have to put in a bunch of names and you put their name in it a bunch and like a bunch of other ones and you're just kind of like, well, it's for that person, right?
I don't mean to like dismiss people that like suffer legitimate paranoia, but at the same time, I do think it's kind of funny how self-centered you'd have to be to think that your mailman and neighbor give a flying fuck about you.
Absolutely, yeah. Your mailman, first of all, cares just as much about your neighbor as they do you.
Yeah.
They're like, by law. I don't know this one guy. He's up to something.
Have you guys seen the music video lately?
I haven't seen it lately, but I remember him, like, the camera, like, turning corners and just, like, stopping on statues and being like, ah, who?
It's disturbing. It ends with a fade out still of the mailman going in for a hug. Seriously, he has the mail in one hand and then he like reaches out the other hand, kind of like a zombie, but it looks like he's going in for a hug and it just fades out. Like that's like the scary.
Oh
the
my god, being hugged by a stranger is the scariest thing. He literally is Sad Girl Twitter 2018.
But I wonder if it's like,
please don't
this is a
me.
Mailman that he's had for so long. The mailman's just kind of like, oh, I don't know. I thought we were friends. I got you a card. And this guy's like, no, who are you?
Which, by the way, would be so hurtful.
Yes.
For that mailman who's like, I know your full name and address, and you don't even know my first name.
If a neighbor comes over and is just kind of like, hey, I saw your lawn was looking a little bit drier. Is everything all right? And she's like, get away from me! My neighbor's watching me!
I feel like the female take on this is, why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah.
I love the who! With, like, all the masculinity. money in the world. Where the rest of the song makes no sense with that kind of energy.
And it's also a who in response to a question already. It's like, I wonder who's watching me now. And then who?
Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I just said
I already said my mailman, my neighbor. I said I don't feel safe anymore.
What a mess.
Which, by the way, again, he's calling out for safe spaces.
Twitter. Damn.
He's so fave. I'm not doing it again.
Fave.
I'm just.
It would happen again. I'd freak out.
I wish just like a bottle just fell. I'd be like, ghosts are real. I believe now. That's the end of his lyrics. It goes into the chorus again, and then he says, tell me, is it just a dream? And I think this might be where the Shimon comes in. Tell me, is it just a dream? I always feel like
somebody's watching me. And I'm no privacy. Oh! What?
No.
Okay, yeah.
They thought they were going to get away with no credit on this, and he did his signature sound.
Yes. Son of a bitch.
That's like Lil Jon's featuring, and he's like, yeah.
Exactly.
Come on, you do your signature sound.
It's his way of being like, you are not ripping me off. It's so great.
Yeah.
Can you listen to it again? That was so exciting. That was exciting.
If you also listen closely, he adds a little bit of padding to this chorus in the way that it's like, vocally, the instrumental is different from every other chorus, but so slightly that it's just like there's another layer, and you can hear like a tee-oo going through it that is not on the other part.
Okay. Tell me, is it just a dream? I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I'm no privacy. Whoa, I always feel like. Whoa, the bass!
Yeah! The bass
okay, there is no chance that Michael Jackson did not write that line. I was thinking that before it happened. There's no chance that a fucking 18-year-old wrote that.
No!
Line. Like the whole hook of the song, Michael Jackson.
I absolutely believe that the parts that Michael Jackson sang over, he was like, I'm fixing this part and this part alone.
Yeah.
I'm so confused why that didn't happen to the other choruses,
no.
Right? Can you play that bass part again? That
the
was amazing.
The bass changes. There's like a weird sound that goes through it, and then there's another layer that it's crazy.
That was written by a master of music.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god, walking up! That was amazing!
Yeah.
Oh my god!
That feels like a Doobie Brothers thing.
Yeah!
Like Michael Jackson was like, hey, I just heard this thing from a Doobie Brothers. I'm gonna bring that into this.
Yes. I'm so excited about that!
Yeah, but it's at the end of the song.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think these synth sounds and these bass sounds are amazing to begin with, but thrown in just a little flourish like that. Woo!
Even just the like very faint, like pitched up synth where it's like dee dee dee. I was like, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you put that in more?
I'm so on board for a little change up in the 11th hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm so on board. Why did he do it? You didn't have to. We were already listening to the song. We're not gonna turn that off now.
It feels like Michael Jackson threw that in and he was just like Rockwell didn't know what was happening until he published it.
How much you want to bet that when he was in there doing the vocals, he was like, oh, hey, man, I got crazy ideas. You got that bass?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Right? It had to have been.
Doomed, 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 doomed.
I mean, it's up there for me. Yeah. It's up there for me now.
Oh, it's up there. This is a great song. Maybe even Unpunchable.
is that the last part?
I have one more clip. I think it might just be the fade out. So. Oh, yeah.
What happened to the drums? Super punchy drum.
That's on the Korg that you had.
It is the Korg drum. Okay, yeah. I can't tell if it was
it's
a
like
man's
a weird,
voice. Going,
you have to like turn on the knobs. It's a mistake.
And then also Michael Jackson comes back in again at the end.
You thought you were gonna hide that. Really? I know. He might have been like, hey, baby, like, just go for it.
Come on. I don't know what the song would be without Michael Jackson.
It would be nothing.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Okay, so that's the end of the song.
That is the end of the song.
Do we feel differently? Do we feel the same? Do we feel good? Do we feel bad? What do we think?
I feel great. I feel like this song is incredible. Huh. I feel like it's so funny, despite him not really trying to be.
What weirds me out is that he wasn't trying to be.
Yes.
Because it is so funny.
It's disturbing.
But when you put it in the context of like a very much a real attempt, I'm a little bit like, all right. You know what? Still funny.
It is very funny to listen to the instrumental parts and just realize how basic it is. And then like the little flourishes that come in, which I wasn't noticing before just now.
Someone had fun on that little Korg.
Yeah.
Someone was just like, roll tape.
A little too much.
Just going to wing it. Go beep.
bah, bah, keep all of it.
Those little beeps that you said it was like from changing settings?
Yeah, probably.
So good.
Yeah. Like, had to be. I've done it so many times. You're changing a setting and for some reason that Korg will change the octave like two up.
It does really make me like Michael Jackson a lot more, strangely. Same. And I already like Michael Jackson a lot. But to know that he did this for his buddy.
Yeah.
And then...
Or was blackmailed into doing it. I mean,
his dad does have a lot
of
power. I feel
like I read somewhere that he was, like, Michael Jackson was driving with someone, and they didn't tell them they were going to the studio, and then they just were at the studio.
Oh, that's so mean.
Yeah.
I didn't read that, but that could definitely be true. Yeah. I know that they were friends, so maybe that was the kind of bullshit you're like, you're cool, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're cool, right?
Wow.
I know that Rockwell really wanted him on it.
Right.
Because he was, like, trying desperately to get, like, a number one, as the prayer indicated.
Of course.
I like the song more now after listening to it.
Me too.
I think I do too.
Yeah. I actually think now having tracked the whole thing, I think I can enjoy this as a non-Halloween song.
I can't.
Really?
Every time I hear this song, even now, I'm just like, it's Halloween. I see people in costumes, like a weird costume party doing the Batman. And I'm just like, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
What's the Batman?
The two-finger dance over your eyes.
That's what it's called?
I thought that was like the Groovy Tuesday. 70s. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Me too. It's called the Batman. Huh. I mean, if it's not called the Batman, then I'm an idiot. But I feel like I've always heard it called the Batman.
I always assume the Batman is when you hate your family.
Well, yes, that too.
Batman doesn't hate his family.
No. I was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, am I going to be the nerd who tells her what happened to Batman's dad?
Yeah. He hated him so hard he died.
Wow. Yes, you know. He prayed that night for a number one hit, and the hit was on his parents.
Yeah, I love this fucking tune.
Me too.
Gotta say it. Love it.
Which is why it was so hard for me to figure out how to punch it up.
Yeah, it's just all about the IRS. What do you do?
There are two things that I was like, well, the weird parts of this song is the IRS and the fact that he doesn't ever explain what's giving him this feeling of paranoia. So I was like, well, I'm going to write the song that explains why he's so paranoid and why he has troubles with the IRS.
We needed the explanation.
We need the preamble to somebody's watching me.
Great thought. Great thought.
That.
Excited to hear your Rockwell voice.
I'm not.
I'm just an average man with an average life.
Spot
up on.
On
floor number three, fourth door on the right. I don't know where my enemies are, so I'm always on my guard. But I'm staying safe at 3524 Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
I always feel like somebody's close to me. Try to use technology.
That is my address.
Too protective.
No, don't say that.
What?
But it's been so effective. I only read my Visa numbers out by myself. 01473205981200012.
No.
That card is good until September of next year. It also has the digits 947 on its rear. But you'll never know that because I'm too wise. That's why I leave my door unlocked from 2 p.m. to 5 on weekdays. I always feel like somebody's
brilliant.
Trying to use technology. Oh, I always feel like somebody's tossing me. But you'll never get to me.
I don't know anymore. Is my barber doxing? Maybe it's my uncle's nephew who's doxing. What if it's my best friend? It could be, perhaps, but you'll never get my password.
What is it?
It's Rockwell 7. In all caps.
It would be.
Somebody's tossing me. Trying to use technology. Oh, I always feel like somebody's tossing me.
Tell me, is it just a dream?
It's not. I always feel like somebody's tossing me.
Yes.
Yes.
Our favorite line. That was amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, yes. Let's clap.
You brought it right into the 2018 Twitter.
I really did.
Full circle, baby. Your Rockwell impression just through the roof.
Thank you.
Off the charts.
It really hurts the voice.
It reminds me a bit of your song impression.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Just because I shared personal information.
I feel like anytime you dox, I'm like, yeah, haha, nice.
Yeah, I did write a second version. I was like, I'll play this version in studio for laughs, but I am going to not publish the one that has my real address.
That was your real address.
Yes,
that's beautiful. Because
I thought I was literally like, if Miel calls us out, I'll be very funny. And then she didn't. I was like, okay, I shouldn't have published that.
Okay, the truth is about your address. I know your apartment number, of course. Sure. But you're gonna have to bleep what I'm about to say. I've never learned your address.
Sure.
And to get to your house, I put in Boulevard and Boulevard.
I have to bleep so much.
And I just have it route me to the intersection.
Yeah.
Because I'm too lazy to learn the digits.
It's fine. And that's very fun, though, after I memorize your address.
Yeah, sorry, you're a better friend. And apparently better puncher-upper. My B.
I'm not.
My B.
The problem is, Demi, you do, like, this isn't a problem at all. This is why this is so fun.
It's a problem.
You do parodies.
Sure.
And they're so good. I mean, many people have said, if you were around, Weird Al would not have had a career.
Weird who?
That's not true.
Honestly, that's true. Honestly, I'm only going to say it's not true because I want to stay in Weird Al's good graces. I would love to have him on the podcast. Yeah. Now we got Bare Naked Ladies, guys. World's our oyster.
World is our oyster.
But I don't. That's just not my approach, and that's fine.
Sure.
We made the podcast.
That's why
together.
There are two people that do a show.
And if you like Demi's better, that makes sense. His are really funny.
Okay.
I don't care.
Do not use this as an opportunity to make yours. Don't. You are good.
I'm here for the hot voice.
Right.
Wow.
You're here for the sex appeal, and I'm here for all the nerds who are like, yeah, I'm trying to hear some Weird Al.
JK, dude, that was so funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I loved that. Was that your real credit card number? Yeah, it was. It was, dude.
You think my credit card just happens to rhyme with myself? No. Shall we get to the jams?
Jams!
Can't punch this.
A prestigious guest of honor, Mary Kobayashi.
Oh my god.
What's your unpunchable jam?
Okay, mine is Power of Love by Huey Lewis.
Yes!
Obviously. Yes. It's so good. Okay, I took notes about why I love it. Okay.
I love you!
So, okay. He's such a good musician and singer.
Yes.
And he's also defending the easiest thing ever. It's totally uncomplicated. It's not like, oh my god, what did he mean? What an artist. It's like, no, I know what he meant. He's like, love is good. And we're like, correct.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
That's how you use good synth.
I don't think you even need to explain that pick. It's self-explanatory.
Okay. Like,
it's a good,
song.
It's a solid pick. Yeah. I love that it's going to be on the Unpunchable playlist. Yeah. It's a great addition. Sometimes people bring in bad ones, and I'm like,
crash into me after we already did an episode on it.
Jake Hurwitz.
I still think it's the funniest coincidence, but still. I just want someone to come in and be like, you know what I think is perfect? It's Korn's Freak on a Leash.
I mean, I wouldn't argue with it on a song. It's great! Demi, what's your unpunchable jam?
My unpunchable jam is Korn's Freak on a Leash. This is the one I was going to do for the National Anthem episode, but it is Rent by Big Frida, which is just a real good bounce song. I played it for Miel in the car when we went to a picnic the other day. And it's just such a good, like, dancey song. But Miel's reaction to it was also very funny to me. Because she turned into, like a white 30, like a 40-year-old mother just being like, I really like this song. What is this?
I don't know what happened.
It was great.
I was like, so wait, what kind of music is this? And he was like, it's bounce music.
Oh, this really moves. You didn't say that.
Wow, this is fun. Can you turn this up? This is fun.
It's so fun, but all bounce music, I feel like, is music that you can't just casually listen to. Like, you have to be dancing to it.
And well, that's the best thing about it.
No, that's the best thing
it's
about it.
It's a party
it, but,
starter.
Like, just imagine, like, being in your car and just hearing, like, a bunch of claps and, like, ass everywhere, ass everywhere. It's like, okay. Very casual listening.
I wonder what it'd be like to make love to that song.
Ooh.
Couldn't be me.
I think it'd be a workout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you would burn at least 2,000 calories.
But also because every bounce song has a part where it's like a record scratches and there's no beat for a while. It'd just be like, okay, we gotta pause. And back into it.
Oh, you know what? It's so funny you bring that up.
Oh.
Because when you pause when you're making love.
Sure.
Some might say that's edging.
No! I told myself by the next time you mention edging, I'm just going to have a theme that's just like edging time.
Oh, do you talk about edging a lot on this podcast?
I've taken a couple episodes off.
That's amazing.
Because she's been edging. That's how you do it. You got to build up tolerance.
The nature of a good bit is, you know, you got to make them want it.
That's true. I wouldn't know what a good bit's like. Oh, no, I don't. Sorry, I don't have that one.
My Unpunchable Jam.
Sorry, what's your Unpunchable Jam?
You get me every time.
Sure do.
Okay, this is a bit of a stretch.
By who?
Hope you're flexible.
I'm not.
No. So I was like, I want to do another song with the theme of like losing your mind. So I was like, oh, Where's My Mind by the Pixies. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, but you know which version I've actually been listening to a lot more in recent history? Because Where's My Mind's a little played out for me.
Sure.
The piano version. It's Where Is My Mind by Maxence Siren. I don't know.
I feel like I've heard this version.
For sure. It's like very played.
Wait, wasn't it in like Westworld or in a commercial for Westworld or something?
Yes, it was in Westworld.
Yes.
It was in Westworld.
It definitely could be.
Yeah.
I could not speak to it, but it's on Spotify. It's beautiful.
it's
relaxing.
Yeah.
It chills you out. If you want to just cruise on like, you know, traffic, maybe calm yourself down. Put it on, roll the window down, be like, hey, you know what? I'm in a little pod right now. Why am I so mad?
Where is my mind?
Where is it? Also, like, I love the Pixies, don't get me wrong. I know two songs, I really shouldn't say that. I love them. Big Pixies.
Look, they have 100%
Here comes my man.
You.
Here comes your man.
I actually am subscribed. I'm a Pixie stick. But. Sorry, I'm really
Manic
sorry.
Pixie dream girls.
I am one of them. But it's just Fight Club, I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
The association's too much.
They really stole it.
So the piano version by Maxence Siren.
I feel like that is a song that is so much better on piano just because you can hear the melody a lot better than when it's just like very distorted guitar.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful melody.
Mary, where can people find you?
on my Twitter at Mary Coco, KOCO. Or on Stitcher, John Levinstein's Retirement Party, which doesn't have my name in it. Yeah, Why am I talking so much about him? Fuck him.
Yeah, this is
what
about you, girl.
Fuck you, John. My band, Bad in Beds, album is available online.
Woo!
I did it.
Bad in Bed. And you sing and play.
Yes.
Yeah. See? Mm. Now you won the hearts of America.
Oh. I use the Korg. I use the same Korg the Rockwell.
Hey, you guys like Rockwell. You're going to love Bad in Bed.
They're the same.
True.
If we do a Punch Up the Jam band, maybe you could be in it.
Punch Up the Jam
Please,
band?
Please, God. Yes.
Maybe we tour as a band and just play our punched up versions of songs.
Oh my God, that's a great idea. That's what's going to happen.
We'll do
I'm like, the there's some legal loop. We'll figure it out.
Well, cover listen, bands exist.
That's true. Never
I have
mind.
Two of those Korgs. Those Korgs, and I used to play them at the same time.
Let's get three Korgs
Woo!
And then
in
go
a
on
a
tour. Go on the road just covering this Rockwell song.
Yes! Okay, I'm so glad we figured out our Manifest Destiny.
We did
Me
it.
Too. Yeah.
If you want to listen to more of us and read our words and see our pictures.
Yeah. If you just want more.
You want more Punch Up the Jam? Follow us on Twitter.
You can follow us on Twitter.
You can follow us on Instagram.
Instagram at punchupthejam.
You can send us an email. I can't do this voice. I can't do
yes,
this
you
voice.
Yes, you can. Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
How, Miel, where can they email us?
I can't.
Do it. Try it.
You can do it.
Punch up the jam.
@gmail.com.
In the shower.
In the shower. Afraid to wash my hair.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. What a horrible note to leave this on.
Oh, it's fine.
Demi's at Electro Lemon. I'm at Meow or Meow Monster. That's the show. Leave us an iTunes review. Thanks. Click
Good
up.
Night.
Thanks. Not for ourselves.
Great job, you guys. Great podcast.
Okay, that
we
was
did
touch.
It.
The jam.
Touch.
The jam.
Touch.
The jam.
Touch.
The jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.